Hi, this is Bobby Lee from Mad TV. Yes. Yo, what's up? This is Pauly Shore, San Diego. You're listening to my sister's radio station, Sandy Seashore. Check it out.
Thank you for joining us worldwide. It's time to fix what ails you. And everyone knows that laughter is the best medicine. So we've gone right to the first family of comedy, to the lady who wrote the book, Sandy Seashore. Yes, that's her real name. Only a comedian would name their kid Sandy Seashore. Well, what do you expect when your family owns the world-famous comedy store? If laughter's the best medicine, well, then Sandy, she's Dr. Feelgood. Hey, thanks for being here. Tonight, Sandy will check in with the world-famous comedy store to find out who's on stage and hear the inside story of what's really happening backstage and on the Hollywood Strip. She'll help you laugh and learn with some real news. And of course, hide the dog biscuits because Sonny Shore is on the loose. He's smarter than Lassie and looks better than Ren 1010. And this is one dog that knows his comedy. And now, here's the seashore that's not in your geography book. A lady with so much talent, she's worldwide at sandyshore.com. Welcome to Happy Hour with Sandy Seashore. You're listening to Happy Hour. No, not that kind of happy hour. The lighten up and smile kind of happy hour. More with Sandy and Sunny Shore in a minute. People visit websites with a goal in mind. To learn more. To buy a product or service. To be convinced or reassured about something. To register for information. Or for any number of other reasons. By understanding your customers' goals and motivations, we can create an intuitive experience to match. In an ever-changing online environment, new trends, technologies, and expectations demand that your website be interactive and constantly updated. Customers want to see new information, news, reviews, product and services, success stories, blog entries, press releases, pictures, and so much more. To keep up with the rapid pace of technological change and customer expectations, Creative Momentum offers a full suite of web tools and ideas to enhance your online image. Visit our website at creativemomentum.net for more information on all affordable services we offer. That's creativemomentum.net. Welcome back to Happy Hour with Sandy and Sunny Shore. If you want to find out more about comedy, visit sandyshore.com. And now, here's the lady that wrote the book on comedy, Secrets to Stand-Up Success, best-selling author and comedy coach, Sandy C. Shore. Oh, yeah, and Sunny.
Back. It's Sandy Shore. You're listening to Happy Hour on BBS Radio. I'm really excited about my next guest is Chrissy Blaze, and that's chrissyblaze.com. Her credentials are wonderful. She has written many books on astrology. Recently, Mercury Retrograde, Your Spiritual Guide to Astrology's Most Precarious Time of Year, which is, we all hear about Mercury Retrograde. How to Read Your Horoscope in 5 Easy Steps, and Fall 2008, Superstar Signs, Sun Signs of Heroes and Celebrities. You've got The Baby Astrologer. You have Power Prayer, a program for unlocking your spiritual strength with a foreword by Marianne Williamson. And let's see, Chrissy's from England. She has credentials from the Faculty of Astrological Studies in London. Only in London would they have that, of course. She's a qualified lecturer from the University of London, and she's certified with the State Board of California as a holistic health lecturer. Chrissy, how do you keep up with yourself?
Hello, Sandy. Well, that was a great lead-in. Thank you very much. I didn't realize I'd done all that.
Well, you've got a very long track record and something to mention. There's a lot of... Excuse me. Yeah, there's a lot of astrologers out there, but you really stand out, I have to admit.
Well, it's because I'm very old, you see. I've been doing it for a long time.
Really?
I actually started doing astrology when I was only 14, so on and off until I was about 21, and then I took it up more seriously, and that was a long time ago. So I've put in many years.
Well, also, excuse me, it's something that it seems like it's your life's calling. That, you know, I mean, when you start something so young that, and you keep continuing with it and you get better and better, can you tell me we've got the Western type of astrology, and then it's called the Vedic astrology or the Eastern type of astrology? There's two different types.
There are, yes. I study Western astrology and know very little really about Vedic astrology. It's a whole different system. And they have different premises, and they're completely different the way they're, but strangely enough, and I have a very good friend who's a Vedic astrologer, the conclusions are the same, you know, it's very weird.
That's what I was wondering, just that, you both come up with the same type of predictions.
I will say that, but I'll say they're slightly different in that Western astrology focuses more on personality, more on psychology. Vedic astrology is kind of weaker on that, but better on dates and, you know, this kind of thing.
What's your opinion on December 2012 or 2012, yes, that date?
Oh, well, the very significant time when some people predict the end of the world, and this is what you're talking about, right? The end of an era,
yeah.
Time of change.
Right.
Well, leading up to that's very, very interesting. From, like, now, this year, and the next 4 years, there are many, many very interesting things happening planetarily. But, you know, I believe it's like we are going through a time of change, obviously, and we're coming to a point, I think, where we realize that we have to sort of wake up to the fact that we are, you know, using all the Earth's resources, and we have to become more conscious and more responsible, and this is what the planets will be telling us very strongly in the next few years. And I don't think it's necessarily the end of the world, but it's definitely got to be a shift in consciousness.
And there's something that the planets will be doing that day. Isn't everything going to be, like, straight in a line or something?
An alignment, yes, absolutely. It's supposed to be aligned with the center of the galaxy.
Ah.
And it's a very, very powerful time. But, you know, these powerful times come up all the time, and we survive, you know. We go through them. There's an amazing configuration in 1962, and since then, you know, we hear about these amazing configurations, and afterwards we think, well, you know, nothing changed, I'm still here. But they affect us on a consciousness level, and they're gradual, and they're subtle. But humanity is going through this time of great change.
I have a feeling we all came here, you know, knowing this unconsciously, that we're shifting all together. Do you think astrology can help us see past lives as well as present and future? I mean, I know you could see, I mean, maybe that's too broad of a question, but how can astrology help us day to day?
Yes, it really does. And yes, we can see our past as well as our future, because when we're born into this life, we're born with a past. You know, we come in as innocent babies, but we still have a past. This is like a new cycle. And from your astrological chart, which is like a blueprint for your life, it's like a guidebook, if you like, for your destiny.
What if somebody doesn't have the time they were born? How can they see their chart?
You can still construct a chart for an approximate time. Most people have an approximate time. And then using life events, you can pinpoint a time.
I remember I had an astrology reading, I don't know, like a zillion years ago, and the guy was, tisk, tisk, you're not going to be blooming till late in life. And I was really young, and I was really disappointed. And he's right. He was right.
You're so
it's
young.
Amazing what shows up on the chart. I found my friend David was an astrologer. Actually, he was hired to do, they instituted the King of Hawaii, and he was headed over there to be the king's personal astrologer, but he passed away in the hospital. And the last reading he gave me, this is many years ago, was he said I had a triple gram water trine, and I had a lot of those. What are those?
A trine is a relationship between the planets. All make relationships with each other, and these are either easy, like the trines are easy flowing energy, or they're difficult, like the squares and the oppositions are difficult. So in other words, a trine means that it's a good, easy flowing relationship you have from one planet to another, and which means that things in your life tend to flow in a certain way. And in water, it's relating to your feelings and your emotions. So you're a person who's able, without looking at your chart, I could say, is able to express your feelings. You know, that's just...
I heard that the Prince of England, what's his name?
Harry?
Oh, my God.
Edward?
His brother.
Charles?
Yeah. No, not Charles. The young...
Harry?
Not Harry. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, the older son. He has triple gram water trine. That's what I heard, anyway.
Oh, really?
what a difficult path ahead. I don't know.
When we have these easy aspects in our chart, it doesn't necessarily make life easy. It just means there are certain things that we take for granted. And it's usually things that come to us easily. We kind of think nothing of them, right?
I'm all excited because I have so many things I want to ask you. How can you see your past through your astrology before you were born? Is that the past you're talking about? Like, because we come in with a blueprint, our sign and the configuration. Is that, we pick the time we were born. I understand that. We pick it so that we have a certain journey. It's really interesting. It's true. Our life is mapped out based on our astrology because we pick the time we want to be born.
And you're a metaphysician, and we pick the parents, too, to give us... We come into life with a certain karmic pattern, certain experiences we have to go through to learn and to grow. And so we pick the right time, the right parents, the right place to give us the experiences we need.
Is that fixed? Because people are trying to change that all the time. So we come in with these lessons. So how... People try to change their destiny, and I'm always thinking that we came into the planet to learn certain things, so how can we change that?
Oh, yeah. Well, things are predestined to a certain extent, but we still have free will. And so, for example, astrology is a tool where we can avoid the difficulties, actually, because we do have this free will and to make choices. So if, for example, you see in astrology that we have a really difficult health period coming up in 2009, for example, to do with, that we're out of shape and maybe our heart's not very good, well, you can avoid that by taking proactive action, if you see it in your chart, by going to the gym, by eating healthily, and by doing that in advance, you can avoid the difficulty of this challenge that you see coming up. So you can sort of change your life in that way.
Now, this book you have, this is what's so fascinating, is you want to help people do their own charts, how to read your horoscope in 5 easy steps. That sounds too good to be true, because it's so complicated, it's such a science. I never even attempted to learn. So someone like me that wouldn't have a clue, how would they start? I mean, can you maybe tell us what the 5 easy steps are?
Yeah, well, I'll try. When you look at your chart, most people have seen their chart, and it's a circle, right, divided into segments, and it's got these little squiggles and symbols all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, you have to realize that all the symbols and the squiggles are just jargon, like anything else, like the words email or website, they're all jargon, so you just have to learn the jargon. But the first thing you do is you look at the pattern and see if it speaks to you. Look at the pattern. Every chart forms a different pattern. This is step one. Every pattern, if all the symbols are bunched up in one corner, that means something. If they're spread out around the circle, it means something else. And so first of all, you read the pattern, and I tell you how to do that. And then the next thing you look at are the signs. We all know there are 12 signs of the zodiac. You're either Aries. What are you, Sandy?
I'm an Aries.
Oh, like me. Oh, hi.
I have a Scorpio rising. So you're an Aries too.
Yes.
What's your moon?
Taurus.
That's my Mars. My moon is Cancer.
Oh, I've got Leo rising. Leo, Aries, Taurus. Anyway, so you learn the signs. They're really important. You learn the planets. They're really important. That's 3 things, right? And then you learn the relationship between the planets, and they're called aspects. And you talked about having that trine in water. That's what you call an aspect. So you learn those. That's 4 things. And then finally, they're the main things. That's all there is, actually, when you boil it down. And then you put all those together, and that's step 5. See, it doesn't sound too bad, does it?
No, it sounds really easy, but then you have to understand what those aspects mean and how they can affect you. And
that's
complicated.
That's what I explain in the book, in a simple way as possible. Still, there's a certain learning curve. Like anything else, you have to learn the jargon. You have to learn what the planet Mars, that kind of influence it has. you have to learn what it means to be an Aries and all this kind of thing. You have to learn.
You know, when astrology first started, I mean, it's been around forever.
Yeah, it was forever. It started, goodness knows, from the beginning of time, I think.
Isn't that interesting? You look up in the sky and you go, oh, there's a relationship between our lives in the stars and how it affects us. It's wonderful. I think it's, I think if people paid more close attention to their, you know, what's going on, they would avoid a lot of pitfalls. Can you tell me, what's your opinion about the state of the U.S., astrologically speaking, for maybe the rest of this year or part of this year?
Because well, that's a loaded question, Sandy.
Well, you know, the housing market, the new president, have you done the chart for the U.S.? Do you have anything that comes to the top of your mind?
Actually, one thing I will say is that things are coming to an end, and it's a great time for everybody listening, actually. If they're thinking of starting something in the U.S., like a new business and buying a new home, this kind of thing, it's a very good time to start things. But also you'll be finding that just as you start things, things are coming to an end. So let things go that you've kind of outlived, because there's this whole energy in the United States of things coming to an end and of new beginnings. So that's, interestingly, it's the election, of course, which is a new beginning, you know. And,
do you have any clue on who looks good for president, astrologically speaking?
I know it sounds very easy to say it now, but right from the beginning when I started doing this, I predicted about 2 years ago, and I think it's in print somewhere, that Hillary Clinton could well be president, even before she was running. But right from the beginning of looking into the presidential candidates, I said the three who had the most chance of winning were Clinton, McCain, and Obama, right? I also predicted with Obama, Barack Obama, that he's coming into a really difficult time, June, July, August, and there could be either some kind of scandal or there could be some kind of problem that he has to face. So I think the two people who look the best for election time are definitely McCain and Clinton, but of those, Clinton just has an edge, actually, I have to say, slightly.
I have a feeling she's meant to win. I just think it's already pre-planned.
Really? That's interesting.
That's my gut feeling.
Yeah, really?
I could be wrong. My friend, he's not here anymore, but he was kind of like a seer. He just told me like 10 years ago, he goes, you watch, Hillary Clinton's going to run for president. And when she won as senator, are you going to run for president? No, I'm not going to do that. And sure enough, she is doing that. But I think it's fascinating that a woman is running. It's about time, I have to say that much.
Definitely, it's about time, yeah. Well, that's interesting you say that. It's very, very interesting. I think it would be great. I mean, I'm not sort of biased one way or another politically. I tend to go for the people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's some good candidates.
I don't follow politics too much. I just have my opinions now and then.
Yeah.
That's all. And so we're going through a lot of changes. Do you see? Well, look at the gas prices and the food's gone up 30% and the dollar's devalued. And as far as changes going on, do you see more difficult times for people because of the changes, and you said there's a new path opening for people? I mean, everything feels new to me. It does. It feels like we're moving really, really fast. And what was last week? Do you feel that way too?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like an opportunity for a new beginning, but also with Pluto, the very slow-moving planet Pluto, which actually the astronomers said last year is no longer a planet. And the astrologers say, well, whether you call it a planet or not, it's still affecting you, buddy. Mm-hmm. The planet Pluto, a very slow-moving planet, has just changed signs, as you probably know, Sandy. And it's a very big event astrologically. And it's now in the planet Capricorn. It leaves it for a few months this year. Then it goes back again for like 20, goodness, decades. And so what this means, it's gone from optimistic, hopeful Sagittarius to practical, pragmatic Earth sign of Capricorn. So what it's indicating is that people are going to have to really, there could be a scarcity of resources coming up that people are going to have to face instead of thinking everything's going to be great. they're going to be faced with reality, lots of reality checks. So that's not necessarily good, right? But I think,
right.
And you're a spiritual person, a metaphysical person, and you know that we have to sort of become less materialistic, and we have to see the world in a different light. So although it's kind of in the short term, it's not going to be good. In the long term, it is going to be good.
I think certain sectors are not being affected at all. I know some sectors are being affected more, you know, are feeling the pinch. As far as, like, comedy goes, because, you know, I'm in the comedy business and entertainment, we're not affected at all. I mean, our business is stronger than ever, and my workshops are filled. And I wouldn't say, like, filled to, like, you know, oh, I have to turn people away, but they're doing very well because people need an outlet. And so I think entertainment's always the strongest when the economy's down because people need to be, you know, sidetracked. That's my opinion. And people have to redesign their lives even, you know. That's my opinion anyway. Oh, do you do astrology for dogs?
Sorry? Astrology?
Do you do astrology for dogs?
Well, I mean, I haven't, no. But I could. if somebody had their birth time and birthplace and date, then it would be a chart like just a person. But, of course, a dog wouldn't be using all the planetary energies that a human is because a human is self-conscious and can draw on the energies of the planets in a self-conscious way, self-aware way. So a dog will tend to not be using all the planetary energies in the same way.
When I had my other dogs, they're gone now, long gone, but it was all an Aries litter. And
really?
We were always bunting heads. You know, my dog right now, he's born July 16th, I think, what was his birthday?
Sensitive cancer.
People really, really care, but I'm looking at his.
He's a sensitive cancer.
Yeah, the 15th, July 15th. That, you're right, he's so sensitive.
Oh.
Oh my gosh. He's like 10 times more sensitive than any dog I've ever seen. He's just, you know, huh. He's really an interesting dog. He's kind of a diva himself. He, you know, he likes looking at himself in the mirror, and he's very picky in what he eats. And he, you know, he's a show dog.
Really?
He loves going in the show ring, you know. But anyway, enough about my dog. I'm always talking about my dog. And... do you think we meet people from our past life? Oh, yeah, of course we do. How do you know from somebody from your past life, can you put the charts together of two people and go, oh, yes, you know each other, and here's what your connection is this lifetime, and here's what you're going to be learning? Can you know that much by looking at astrology?
Yes, you can, yes, to a certain extent, yeah. You look at certain parts of the chart, such as the south node of the moon. I don't want to bore people with technicalities. You look at Saturn, you look at certain things, and there are indications where, quite clearly.
I was always wondering, like, when I'd meet someone, you know, in my earlier years, are we compatible? What's his chart? Oh, my God. It was always no, sorry. Every one of them was no. You know,
really?
They're all, I wasn't destined to. I was destined to work this lifetime.
Well, you haven't finished your life yet. You're so young.
Not really. I talk a lot about UFOs because I've had my own visitations, and UFOs is the hot topic now because there's, you know, James Gilliland is a regular guest. You know who he is. He has that eSETI.org up in, he has UFOs on his ranch up in Trout Lake, Washington. And what's your feeling about UFOs and ETs?
Oh, I've been I've been very connected with UFOs, again, since I was young, because I was a student of Dr. George King for 25 years until he passed.
Oh.
And he founded the Assyria Society, of which I'm still a member. Probably over 30 years I've been a member, and he was, you probably know, he was a contactee, a yoga master, a genuine, fantastic contactee for over many years. He received over 600 transmissions, or as we call them, messages from beings, very advanced, enlightened beings from beyond this world.
Oh, I'm getting the chills. He's probably with us right now. Do you recall any predictions that they said, or anything they talked about the future of Earth that he transmitted? And how long ago did he pass?
He passed away in 10 years ago now, but the the messages were given mainly in the 50s and 60s. There were over 600 of them. They were predicting things like the changing of the the global warming, this type of thing. They were predicting the changing of the seasons. They were predicting many things. And there were one thing they did was predict flying saucer forecasts that would be seen at certain exact times and exact places, which were all verified in the press, and this was to verify their validity. But their main reason for giving these messages was to give a whole body of philosophical, spiritual information, and as well as predictions for this sort of age, this new age, this coming age that we're in now, to include a cosmic concept. Very, very fascinating.
What's interesting is I know something's changed because I'm feeling happy, and I've never even knew what that... I always said there's no such thing as happiness, it's joy, because happiness is fleeting, but I'm realizing that there is happiness. It's a state of mind, it's a state of being. And I'm feeling that this coming age... people, he who was last will be first. Those have been suffering spiritually are going to be, things are going to be turning around for everyone. I think it feels like a wonderful time coming ahead, even though surrounding us is a lot of doom and gloom. And I don't, people thrive on doom and gloom. And I don't, that's getting rather old. Listening to the news. Now, bringing it to astrology, you're saying overall the U.S. is going to have a little bit of a, there's certain areas that are going to have a hardship.
So, yeah, I mean, things are going to level out, and it is a hardship now. For example, not so long ago, people were buying homes with no money down, and all this kind of, if you think about it, it's very unrealistic. And now, Pluto's in Capricorn, we're dealing with things in a more realistic way. You know, if you don't have any money, how can you buy a house? So, people are suffering because of this. But in one way, it's kind of crazy that people were doing that. So we're going to come to a more realistic thing where, which is going to be hard, but, in the long run, it's going to be better.
Yeah, people were buying houses left and right, second houses, third houses, doing things. The house I'm in now, is in a foreclosure, and it's kind of personal, but the people that bought this house originally were flippers, and they lost it. So that, I could see, I'm in that reality, which I'm completely fine with. But
yeah,
I think people, there's an old saying, remember in the old days they said money doesn't bring you happiness? I think that person's a liar and a loser, whoever said that. Because money does bring you happiness. You need money now.
Yeah, it brings you freedom, doesn't it? And brings you a certain freedom.
Yep, it does.
I think we have to sort of capture a bit the spirit of, certainly my parents, because I'm a lot older than you, age, where money was, things were valued more, and they didn't go out and buy new clothes every week. And, I think we're going to sort of get back to that a bit more and bring back the really important values, which aren't materialistic values, actually, are they? Because we all know if the house is burning down, we don't worry about the TV. We want to take our photographs. We know really what are important things to us.
That's so true. It's so true because, we look around in our houses and all the stuff we have around doesn't matter if it evaporates. I know personally I'd be totally okay if it all evaporated because, I went through so much that I know what it is. But it's sure fun being able to, you know, not worry about, you know, bills and things like that. It's a stress reliever. But the What's the gas in L.A.? I know San Diego, it's at almost $3.50 about right now, a gallon.
Yeah, it's about the same. It might even be higher, actually. I have a small car. I never seem to put gas in it. So, but it goes up.
How long have you been living in the U.S.? And you live in Los Angeles, right?
I do, since 1994. Just after the earthquake I came, everybody thought I was crazy, but, you know.
So where in Europe? In London? Is that where you're from?
London, yes. I'm from London.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can tell your accent.
Yes, very good.
So
I have an American accent.
No, very London-y. You do personal readings for people?
I do, yes, I do. And I have clients from all over the world, actually, not just the U.S., but also the U.K., and I do them either on CD. I don't have to be with a person. So that's why I can do them all over the world. I do them on CD, or I do them sometimes by email, too. Somebody today asked me a question, what would the best date for their marriage? And I do things like that, too. So I do everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Can you say what kind of running theme goes through people? Is there something that you're finding that's a common throughout most people?
Yeah, it's interesting. I often think about that. But we all have the same questions, really, whatever nationality we are, whatever background, and we all have the same desires and aspirations, and we all want the same things, you know, and this is the thing that binds us all together, and this is why it's so sad that we just can't get along, because we really are the same.
So
we
how
want
would you
family.
So the fact that we can't get along, then, what would be a good way for people to learn how to get along?
Well, to me, astrology is a great way, because with astrology, when you start to analyze a chart, you no longer judge a person. You understand them. You start to understand why they do what they do. And when understanding is born, then the next step is love, right? Because when you understand a subject, you start to love it. When you understand a person, you start to love them. And that really is, astrology isn't the only thing, of course, but it is a great key, I think.
That's a really good point. Can we talk about Mercury retrograde and why is on pins and needles during Mercury retrograde? Can you explain why that is?
Yeah, because it's a time when all the planets, they have a retrograde motion, which means that they appear to go backwards, apart from the sun, which doesn't, and the moon. But the planets have a retrograde motion, and it's just an optical illusion, actually, because they don't really go backwards. If they did, we'd be in trouble, right? But it's an optical illusion. But with they all affect us. But Mercury specifically affects us because I think we live in a very mercurial society nowadays. Everything is fast. Everything is instant. Like the internet is very mercurial. Mercury ruled. Mercury rules our communication. It rules our thinking processes. It rules the light in the eye. It's how fast we are and how agile we are. So when Mercury goes retrograde, it really affects us and our communications and our everyday things. It affects our computer breaks down and this and this. And so we regard them as very frustrating times. In fact, one of my publishers, Warner Books, they refused to sign any contracts during Mercury retrograde. And so they took it very seriously. Well, there is a good side to Mercury retrograde, which people tend not to know about, actually. And the good side is that it's a time for us not to make decisions, not to sign contracts, not to buy a house, not to buy a car, but it's a time for us to reflect, to think outside the box, to reevaluate what we're about to do. And there's a whole load of different things that are very good for us to do in Mercury retrograde period.
So if you've worked on a project and you haven't worked on it a while, so Mercury retrograde would be a good time to start working back on that project.
Exactly. Okay. To edit it, if it's a book or something, it'd be a great time to revise it, to edit it, this type of thing. But a contract for a new one, you see, it's the whole...
I've done that before. Yeah, I've done that. I said I'm not buying anything electronic or I'm not signing anything, you know, during that time period for some reason. Some Mercury retrograde seem to be worse than others. I don't know why that is. I don't remember any...
because we live in such a fast-moving world, and Mercury affects, you know, our communications.
Now, they last for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, three or four times a year.
So now, when's the next one coming up?
The next one's in May, which ends on June the 19th. I can't remember the exact date.
When does it start? It starts May
what? I can't remember the exact date off the top of my head. Okay. I should, but I can't.
Okay.
It'll be in my book, actually. I could just mosey
now,
over that.
I've heard a lot of positive things about new moons.
Yeah.
And then can you tell me what new moons and full moons and the difference?
Yeah, well, the new moon is a new beginning. It's time to initiate projects, very simply. And the full moon is a time to bring things to a close. So if you're trying to get something off the ground, like if you wanted to, say, open a new business, and you planned a date, and that date was the full moon, that would be the wrong time to do it. The best time to do it would be the new moon. If you tried to do it, if you wanted to close down your business, then try and do it around the time of the full moon. It's not complicated. It's just very simple.
I'm looking on the calendar. Is the full moon the one that... Oh, the new moon's the one with the black circle.
That's the full moon.
Are we having a full moon on the 21st? Looks like it's a new moon.
Sani, I don't have all the lunar phases at the top of my...
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I do have Mercury retrograde date now in front of me. Okay. May the 26th to June the 19th is the next one.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah.
And then... Now, what about lunar eclipses and eclipses, solar eclipses? They really seem to rattle us a lot.
They do. The moon really affects us. You know, it affects the tides. We're made of water. All the planets affect us. But we're really, really strongly related to the moon. Because in astrology, the moon is our habits, it's how we feel comfortable, it's what we need to make us feel secure. And so these are very subconscious sort of drives that we have, and the moon affects all those. So when there's an eclipse or something like that, then our very security needs are sort of threatened, you know, on some level. So they affect us a lot, emotionally.
And their effects affect us, what, a week or two before and after, too? I heard?
Yeah, they start to build up before and after. The new moon and the new moon too, if you want to start something, you don't have to do it exactly on the day, but you can do it after the day. So these phases last for a few days, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've scheduled a showcase, I think, on a full moon for a performance. Is that a bad thing to do?
No, I mean, it's not a bad thing to do if it's just a performance. If you were starting, like opening a club or starting a whole string of performances on that day, that wouldn't be a great idea. But just one performance, I mean, that could be fine, and it could be the culmination of all your hard work before then, you know, depends how you look at it.
You know what might be fun right now? If you could explain to everyone what the different planets mean. Because, you know, okay, we've got the sun sign, right? We've got our moon, there's like a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, I can in a sentence, I'll try and do that. Well, the sun is our character, and when we're babies, we are much more influenced by the moon because it's our habits. It's, you know, when we feel wet, we scream, you know, it's how we react to things. That's the moon, right? It's our emotions, it's our security needs. So as we get older, When we get wet and hungry, we don't scream, right?
Right.
Because we start to control that. And by controlling that part of us, we start to develop another part, which is the sun sign, which is our character. And then we start to make conscious choices. Do I want to punch that person on the nose or don't I? You know, we start to make choices. And the more we do that, the more we dwell in our sun sign rather than just in the moon. Do you understand that?
Yes.
And then... The Mars is the energy that gets us out of bed in the morning. It's if we didn't have Mars, we'd be like protoplasmic blobs of jelly lying on the floor, you know. So it's a sort of assertive energy. Whereas Venus is the energy that brings people together. It's the energy of relationship, of harmony, and bringing people together, nations together. That's Venus. Jupiter is the energy of expansion and opportunity. So it's not one of the personal planets in the way that Mars and Venus affects us very personal. Jupiter is more universal, but it also brings to us, it's making our life bigger in some way. So it's making us joyful too. When you get an opportunity for a great, you know, gig, opens up for you, that's Jupiter at work, giving you this opportunity that you've deserved, that you've earned from the past, you know. Now Saturn comes along, and that's the planet that limits you. It's the planet that we have problems with because it's saying to us, now, you know, enough fun, now we have to work. But if we work with the energy of Saturn, then we can become really skilled, you know, really good at what we do. But as you know, Sandy, to become a really good comedian, it doesn't just happen. You've got to really work at it.
Absolutely.
So that's the energy of Saturn, is discipline. And then the outer planet...
every 20 years, does a change in our lives? Is that Saturn's... I heard something very severe about Saturn.
Well, we go through these different Saturn cycles, which last about 30 years is a complete Saturn cycle. And these cycles are really important. And when we come to a new Saturn cycle, it's like we're growing up, we're becoming mature, we're becoming adult. The first Saturn cycle hits us around the ages 28 to 32. The next one is around the age of 54 to 58, I think it is. So every sort of 28 to 30 years, you come to this different stage where we have to really grow up. It's like a big reality check in our lives. And people usually struggle at those times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the other planets, or the outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. They affect a generation more than just an individual. So that's basically, and I can explain those too if you want, but that's mainly the planets that are affecting us personally.
When you do a chart, you look at the outer planet. Do you put all of those planets together, or is it just the main ones?
Yeah, all the planets, the 10 planets. If you can still call Pluto a planet, which I do, you know, that's 10. look at those 10, the relationship they make with each other, and where they fall in your chart. For example, every of those 12 segments in the circle, right, Sandy, each one represents a different area of your life. So if you've got 3 planets in your area of relationship, it means to me that you're a person that cares a lot about relationships, and it's important to you. Whereas if you have none at all, but instead 4 planets in your house of career, then you're a person who considers career more important than relationship. Do you understand? It's
mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh,
those sort of
brilliant. So
initial thing.
The best way to learn how to know someone is to have their chart done.
Exactly, and to know yourself, which, you know, is the big thing, isn't it? We love to judge other people, but we've got to know ourselves, and once we really learned about ourselves, we'd stop judging other people, too.
Mm, that's brilliant, and I think that's so true. I want to let everybody know I invited Chrissy every week to do an astrological update on the show, so we're going to be, I want to give your website to everybody. ChrissyBlaze.com, and that's Chrissy spelled C-H-R-I-S-S-I-E, and then Blaze, B-L-A-Z-E.com. Her website will be up on, is already up on my webpage. I think we're going to wind it up, but you know, before we do, my dog has this magic eight ball, and everybody gets to ask him a question. And then we drop the magic eight ball. Do you have a question for Sunny?
Oh, Sunny, goodness me.
Yeah, you know, the little eight ball. If you look on the webpage, there's him with the eight ball in his mouth. And he loves the eight ball. Drum roll, please. Okay, question for Sunny. Sunny, come. Come here. Drop the ball. Okay, what's your question?
So, who is going to succeed in, oh, goodness me, I'm not very good at this. What does everybody want to know?
No, just ask a personal question.
Oh, for me?
Can I have one for you?
Well, I'm buying a house next week and moving states. So will I enjoy the new state, which is going to be Michigan, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is big news. You know what the ball says? It says, don't count on it. But it's made in China.
What is that? What's that? What did she say?
The answer says, don't count on it. But the ball is made in China.
Well, I like to move every few years. So.
Really, do you? What about that astro topical thing where you could see where the best place to live is? I heard.
I know.
Never had that done. Is that what?
Yeah, the relocation. Yeah. The relocation is a good thing to use if you're thinking of moving. There's benefits in all the places I've lived, actually. There's good things in all of them. But you certainly have different experiences in different places, that's for sure.
So you're
I'm sorry?
I've moved 10 times since the year 2000.
Have you really?
Yes, I'm a little tired. That's why I'm...
Where are you living now, Sandy?
I'm in San Diego.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Now, you're moving to Michigan where it's going to be snowing and freezing cold from L.A.
I know. But there's a reason. I'm sort of attached to the Aetherius Society, and we're buying, we have bought a really nice temple there, and, you know, they need more people there. So it's mainly for that reason. And really, that's the reason I came to Los Angeles in the first place from London. So,
wow.
A whole new phase of life.
So you're moving when next? How many weeks?
Well, we're buying a house next week, but we're moving in probably in June, yeah.
Okay.
And there's some wonderful people. I also have family there, too, my husband's family. And there's some wonderful people in Michigan. I really love the Michigan people. So.
I was born in Detroit, Michigan.
Really, Sandy? I didn't know that. You know,
yeah,
I knew I liked you.
That's where I was born. I entered the planet through there.
Goodness
and
me.
Yeah, and I left when I was 3, and we went to Miami. And I was in Miami till I was 9, and then I moved to Beverly Hills, and that was the end of my life. Moving to L.A. was the demise of my spirit.
I know. So, it's a tough place spiritually, isn't it?
It's horrible. Very horrible.
Yeah.
But we started the Comedy Store in 1972, so we're pretty ingrained over there. And every time I try to leave the family's business, I get pulled back like a magnet. So this is my destiny.
It's such a creative place, Los Angeles, isn't it? Very creative.
It's very. Southern California is the most creative place I've ever seen.
Me too.
Nobody judges you for anything like that. So that's probably why I'm here, because I could be me, whatever that.